Kia ora koutou. Welcome, everybody. So good to be here. I don't speak very often, so I'm going to give it a good shot today. Are you all right? All right. But before I do, I just wanted to bring a little bit of understanding. This we're doing a sort of a 2-month cycle, and every now and then we have a slot where there's a bit of teaching. This is kind of one of those today, and I think it's very interesting that we focus very quickly on a little scripture at the end of 1 Corinthians 13. What's 1 Corinthians 13 all about? It's about the love. It's about bringing the love, right? Love never stops loving, does it? And God is love, isn't he? Anywho, it says right at the end of chapter 13, my understanding is incomplete now. Who understands everything about God and his ways? Except Daniel, that is? Yeah. Daniel, I'll come and see you after the service. Thank you so much. It says, my understanding is incomplete now, but one day I will understand everything. Isn't that amazing to consider? Just as everything about me has been fully understood. Who are we understood by fully? God alone. It says, until then, there are three things that remain, faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. Isn't that a wonderful way of putting it? That's in the Passion Translation. Let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. In verse 14, in chapter 14, it goes on to say this. It's good that you're enthusiastic and passionate about spiritual gifts. Who loves the moving of the spiritual gift? Isn't it wonderful? And then Paul goes on to say this. It's good that you're enthusiastic and passionate about spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. What we've seen this morning is an illustration of how a prophetic word is given. It's a beautiful. It's beautiful. It's submitted to the person, and that person has the right to come back and dialogue. So when someone speaks in tongues, no one understands a word he says because he's not speaking to people but to God. He is speaking intimate mysteries in the spirit. But when someone prophesies, he speaks to encourage people, to build them up, and to bring them comfort. Isn't that wonderful? Encouragement, building them up, and comfort. That's what God wants to speak. The speaker, the one who speaks with tongues advances his own spiritual progress, while the one who prophesies builds up the church. I would be delighted, this is how Paul says it, I'd be delighted if you all spoke in tongues, but I desire even more that you impart prophetic revelation to others. Greater gain comes through the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, unless there's interpretation so that it builds up the entire church. Lord, I just ask that you help me this morning as we speak about these mysteries, these intimate mysteries that you've given to us through your beautiful Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, so before I get too carried away, because I'm going to this morning, with the Spirit, of course, I'd like if Scotty could put up that first slide. We're going to be talking a little bit about languages, and I didn't know how I was going to fill this in, because I had this thought in 1 Corinthians 14, and then it just happened. There was a prophetic word that was released, and Paul speaks of, as we've just read in 1 Corinthians 14, about the importance of prophecy and tongues, all right? So we're going to speak a little bit about language, but the first thing I want you to do is just get in clusters, maybe 5, 6, thereabouts, and I've got a quiz for you. I'm going to give you 3 minutes, all right? So, on your marks, get set, go. Next slide, please. Okay, ready? Quiz. 3 minutes starting from now. You can talk amongst yourself. You can write some stuff down. There are no trick questions here. Someone's asking Siri, I understand. You're wasting time. Get stuck in. Just want to welcome you if you're watching on live stream. God bless you. You now have 2 minutes. You have 40 seconds left. Okay, stop, please. All right. Now, I know that there are some very learned people in this room, including people whose middle name is Google. Now, if my answers differ from yours, then that's just tough, because I am the quiz master this morning. All right. So, how many languages are there in the world? Okay. Over 7,000, let's put it that way. All right? I'll put up all the answers that I've got as your quiz master after I read these, but that's good. How many languages are in written form? According to the authority that I have. I am not the authority, but there is authority in this verse. And 917 have yet to be written. We know some people who've been over in Papua New Guinea for years and years that have been developing a language, a written language for what is a verbal language there. We hats off to them. They're just amazing people. There's people that you might know from the Wycliffe Bible Translation mission that are working with people groups all over the world. And what did I say? Wycliffe? Okay. Yep, sweet. So there's people that do that every day, and they're awesome. How many languages are there in the Pacific region? So if there's like 7,117, how many are in the Pacific? Over 1,000. In fact, the website that I visited said that there were 1,313. Interesting, isn't it? In the little old Pacific. Okay, this is an easy one. We should all know this one. What are the official languages of New Zealand by law? Maori, New Zealand Sign Language, and English. And did you know that there's more than one type of sign language? Yeah. All right. Now, this is fun. How many languages are spoken in New Zealand? According to the 2018 census, I'm not going to take any other answers. 172. Including three different sign languages spoken in New Zealand. All right? Isn't that interesting? I didn't know that. All right. Here's this one for the biblical scholars. What languages did Jesus speak? Aramaic, Greek, probably English. Aramaic, Greek, and probably English. No. and probably Hebrew. We see him in dialogue with different people, like the Syrophoenician woman he would have spoken Aramaic to. The language of the day was Greek since 586 BC when Babylonian kings took Israel into captivity. Aramaic was the language that the children of Israel spoke. And in 330 BC, through the conquests of Alexander the Great, Greek became the international language, much as English is these days. Right? Interesting, isn't it? In Jesus' day, Greek was spoken in all parts of the Roman Empire, along with local and regional dialects. Okay, so here we go. What languages did the Apostle Paul speak? Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, Latin tongues. You're jumping the gun on me, Kerry. You're right. He grew up in a cosmopolitan city right on a huge trade route called Tarsus. And Tarsus was one of the, I think the three largest cities of the day. And in it and through it traversed people from every direction, east, west, north, south. And so it's quite possible, knowing how clever Paul was, that he picked up in his trade of tent making even more than those three main languages which he spoke. So Greek, Hebrew, and probably Latin, as you say. And this is one for the next slide. I think we'll just go to the answers, last slide. So if you want to take a photo of that, you're welcome to, or you can just listen or whatever. But there were 15 languages that were spoken on the day the Holy Spirit touched a small group of believers who were praying in an upper room. And over 15 languages or dialects or whatever you want to call them, or tongues, were released. If you can just put the next map up, please, Scotty. Being a visual person, this is a map depicting the regions in which the languages spoken that are recorded in Acts chapter 2 are from. Isn't that amazing? For those of you who've been able to travel, remember when we could travel? Yeah, wasn't that long ago, was it? Some of us might have been to those parts of the world, and we know that in each of those different areas, there's similarities of languages, there are families of languages, and yet there are distinctive dialects that people speak, so that one person doesn't understand the other. I was in a situation. I learned a little bit of Spanish when I was at school. And so I've got a little bit of an ear for that, and know a few words. But I was speaking to men's breakfast. Who was at the men's breakfast a week or so ago? There was a gentleman who was from Portugal. Now, there was just a few very different, there's a few words that were similar, but I couldn't believe how a neighboring country, the dialect was so distinctly different and difficult to understand. And when you think about the languages of the world, there are quite a few, as we've discovered, over 7,000. So can I ask a very quick question? Is there anyone in this room that speaks more than English? Just a hand. Okay, Lindell? Nepali, a bit of Hindi, two sign languages. Anyone else? You probably can't beat that, all right? But maybe. Yeah? Anyone at the back here? Yeah? Afrikaans? Yep. Anyone else? Bit of pidgin? Pidgin? Afrikaans? I saw a hand over here. Bit of Khmer? Bit of Romanian? Bit of Australian? Okay. Fair go. That's pretty... It's pretty difficult, mate. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's truth. I'm wearing this shirt for a reason. Can I have the next slide, please? This is my dad. My dad loved color. And this is him in one of his happy places, a rose garden. And with one of those things of beauty that not only did he love, he also tended to. He did the weeding. He did the pruning. He did all of those different sorts of things. This shirt was one of my dad's. He passed on in the middle of 2019. But my dad, I'm terrible at numbers, but I think he spoke at least 7 languages fluently. My dad just had that gift. He had the ability to pick up languages. He taught Russian at the University of Colorado in Boulder, and he also he did his undergraduate study in German. Worked at the Pentagon doing translating work there. He spoke French to my mother, who also knew French, when they didn't want us to know what they were saying. Did you have and speaking about pidgin? Did anyone learn pig Latin? Ig pay atin lay? So you just messed around with the words? Yeah, I don't know. You're not very skillful here in New Zealand. No, I was brought up around language. My parents would host the university students each summer before the school season began, and we'd have big picnics out in the in our backyard, where people of different places from the Eastern Europe and the Slavic countries, especially, in which my dad taught in that faculty, they would come and enjoy some food and fellowship, and you'd hear all these different languages being spoken. And I wonder how God, have you ever thought about how God views languages? How he manages to understand people when they pray and they cry out to him. And yet he does. Isn't that amazing? You know, from the beginning of time, there was a universal language which, because of humanity's sin, God confused at the time of Babel. But I believe that God is re-languaging us at this time and bringing us back into an understanding of the importance of language. See, my dad, to keep his language current, and I honor Lindell too in that, I know that she does this too, but he used to do his Bible reading in different Bible translations each day, and as he read his Bible, he would speak it out so he could keep his spoken language going as well as his written language. Now, that's my dad. My dad was a geek, a lovely geek, and he had that gift. But I believe God wants to gift people today some special things. See, the other thing too, I just want to tie up, cover the next slide, please. Next Saturday, in fact, this upcoming Saturday is Waitangi Day, the 6th of February, marks the 181st anniversary that a treaty was signed between two people groups. One, the Māori tribes of New Zealand, who had 5 years prior to that initiated a declaration of independence. And they signed this with the English Crown and formalized the document that now is the foundation of our nation's bicultural and bilingual heritage. I've got a little URL down the bottom there, and if you want to find out a little bit more about the history of that, I urge you to look it out, because as in the words of a beautiful kuya that we once knew and loved, and this she's buried at the Urupa in Pariaka, her name is Taki Hunt. She used to say, happy seeker, happy finder. And as we look and as we seek God, we discover more about him. As we seek about some of these other things, we become enriched and we grow as human beings. So I encourage you just to check that out, www.nzhistory.govt.nz, and look at some things like that. But as I said, I've been asking God about how he views language. And I conclude in reading through the Bible that language is important to every follower of Christ. So I'd just like to say, language is important to me. And I'd like you to say, language is important to me. I'm going to be taking a wedding in 2 weeks' time. And one of the things I usually say to married couples as they prepare for their marriages is there's two ways to say things, and one of them is kind. Language is important. Language is important. It's not just what we say, it's but how we say it. And it's in the back and forth of language, there's greater understanding that we gain, isn't there? Yeah, you might look at me and say I'm an awesome person. You might think I'm not. But until you get to know me, I usually say to know me is to love me, but not always the case. It's not always true. Yeah. Some people probably don't, and that's okay. But as I say, if the thing is, if we don't have an exchange of ideas, if we don't have an exchange of dialogue, if we can't understand each other, it takes longer, doesn't it, to know each other. And as we discover the gift of language, then there's an actual an avenue, a highway that we can go back and forth and grow, learn more about each other. But one of the things that I'm so aware of, and I believe our country is a prophetic statement to the rest of the world, in that our foundation doesn't just rest on a violent overthrow of something, but it rests in a covenant. It rests in a treaty. It's covenanted in two languages, that of the indigenous people and that of the crown, right? Has everything gone according to plan since then? Depends who you ask. And yet, here we are. We're still working things out. We're still discovering language. We're still discovering ways in which we can we can grow in the founding partnership that God intended in this place. As we probably know, there was a brokering, if you like. There was a working of how to communicate that was done earlier by men and women of God, courageous people in our land who came from overseas with the heart to see the glory of God represented in these beautiful people that were in New Zealand. Their heart was to do that. They went about discovering language. They went about creating written language in which to communicate the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe one of these things is that we are discovering the beauty of that initial foundation for our country and growing in that today. So as you know, as God continues to relanguage his church, city life has been led to weave Te Reo Māori into our values, into our gatherings. And believe it or not, we're about to introduce a language wall in our foyer, which reflects the whakatauki that we've been growing in, which is Naku te rauro, Nau te rauro, ka ora ai te iwi. With my basket and your basket, the people will thrive. There's lots of different languages that are represented in this room, and we're going to express those on a wall as we come in. But that's yet to come. But I believe that today, God wants us to renew his gift of language to us. And I believe some of you are going to leave speaking a whole new language fluently. All right? That's my hope. That's my prayer. That's been my focus this week. And the reason I believe that is that this is part of God's plan. And if we look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 to 12. Next slide, please, Scotty. I think it's that one. Yeah. You might have seen this. This is a little thing, but I will read around it. It says, after this, this is John having an experience of Jesus, on a revelation of Jesus Christ. And it says, after this I looked, verse 9 to 12. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hand, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and honor and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Every language, from Afrikaans to Hindi, from a Romanian to Pidgin, from Khmer to Fijian, from Australian to American. Every language is going to be represented around the throne of God. Every tongue, every tribe, every people. I love how this this little montage is a spiritual theme for a school called the Eastern Christian School. But it's made up of the different spices from around the world. I just love it. Does anyone know what iwi means? It's often translated as tribe, but it actually means people or nation. So there's three out of the four words that are represented in the three-letter word of iwi in New Zealand. Can I have the next slide, please? Evidently, in New Zealand, there are 102 iwi represented. And I can't read all of those because the language is too small. But at Uihi Bay, which Beth and I have had the great fortune of being able to go to at least, was it three times, twice or three times? Twice, that's right. On the 25th of December, the year of 1814, an English reverend by the name of Samuel Marsden came and spoke the first, what is believed, the first gospel message at Owyhee Bay in the Bay of Islands. It's about the same distance between there and Waitangi as it is between Capernaum and Joppa, which is what I'm going to conclude on, a story in the Bible. But if you look at that, how could Reverend Samuel Marsden, who is attributed to have delivered this message in English, the first gospel, rah, 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 in order for people to understand, he had to have an interpreter, didn't he? Because one of the things about tongues is that there does need to be an interpretation for not just a sound to be made, but for a voice to be heard and clarified. This man was captured, treated roughly, but got up. He had a purpose that God had planned for his life, and that was to sow the seed of the gospel in this nation. He died at the age of 28 after a fever, having brought just the year after, I think, 1815, I believe it was. But don't quote me on it because I'm terrible at remembering numbers. But I believe it's the next year he died, having brought the gospel, invited someone to bring the gospel, and introduced a lot of the agricultural practices that would benefit his community. Amazing. God used him in that way. But without being able to understand, it's always tricky. But God is moving in this hour so that every nation, tribe, people, and language will be represented in his glorious coming. And I believe that's the thing we need to keep in mind with whatever the confusion we might have over the languages, whatever the situation you may find yourself in. God is doing something new, and he's using language to do that. If we can turn, I'd like to spend a little bit of time in Acts 10, and then I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to do some amazing stuff, okay? In Acts chapter 10, it always reminds me of a beautiful sister that many of us will know by the name of Selena. Now, Selena has custom-made part of the scripture I'll read to you shortly, but the whole gist of this chapter is about two men particularly, one by the name of Cornelius. Now, Cornelius was a Roman centurion, right? He was a soldier. And he was from, it says in chapter 10, verse 1, it says he was known in a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Now, I just want you to step back a minute. What languages do you suppose someone from the Italian regiment of the Roman army might speak? Latin and Greek, which we said is the trade language of that day. So he would have spoken those two languages. I wonder about this. It says, one day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. And when the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. Now, once again, I wonder what language the angel used to speak to him. And yet what was spoken was understood. And what was understood was acted on. And what was acted on led to this next thing. So we've got this devout Roman guy who had this angelic encounter. And so about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. Are trances good? Here we've got an angel. That's good. Hey, angels, good. Trances. In this particular instance, there was a trance. It was actually God slowed him down enough to get his attention. He was hungry. He was thinking about food. But God said he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being led down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles of the earth and the birds of the air. And a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." As a good Jewish man, Peter replied, "Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." And the voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Isn't that an amazing slap in the face for this great apostle of Jesus Christ, this one who encountered Jesus, this one who had walked with Jesus, this one who had followed him and done the best that he could. He'd fallen and God had pulled him up again and raised him and given him a tremendous authority that saw thousands come to a relationship in Christ. Do you think he might have had a little bit of prejudice in his world? Maybe. Maybe, don't know. And yet the voice, I believe, of the Holy Spirit, "Don't call anything impure that God has made clean." And it said this happened three times, as if you wouldn't sort of get the impression the first time. It happened three times. See, God wanted to reinforce something. I believe he wants to reinforce something now, because there's something he's doing in this world, that if we carry a prejudice against other people because of anything to do with their ethnicity, the language they speak, the food that they eat, we need to consider, are we calling something impure that God has made clean? Is God going to reconcile all things to himself in Christ? Is that his work? Is that his, yes, or just city life people? Or maybe the good people in New Plymouth or Taranaki who love Jesus. He's working. He's about his business, reconciling the whole world to himself. While Peter was wondering, verse 17, about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was, stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." So Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men said, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." And then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. See, there was something. There was an invitation that was put out. There was revelation. There was obedience. There was a welcoming in. And there was a point of decision. Was Peter going to do that? Was he going to follow what God had spoken to him in this unusual vision? Was he going to go, if you like, to Gentiles who were unclean in the sight of how he had a revelation of God working? I want to just pause for a minute and just clarify something, because what does Jesus say? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after. What happens to those people? They'll be filled. God always responds to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. His promise is filling us. Filling us. So we read about how Peter and the brothers from Joppa went along about 50, 60 Ks up the road. Probably took him a couple of days, because it says the following day he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, had called together his relatives and close friends, and as Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." Right? I want to speak to us. You're only a man. You're only a woman. But God has gifted you with language and a message that is important to the hearer that he's going to bring you into contact with. But we're only men and women. We can't do the work of the Holy Spirit. We need to be obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit so that he can do his work. Is he the Savior or are you the Savior? Am I the Savior? Sometimes I get these crazy notions that I have to fix every problem because I'm the pastor. You might have those thoughts too. I don't know. You might think that because you're a Christian, you've got all the answers. Well, no, God has all the answers, but he's using you and your language and your ability to connect with people and see change taking place, transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit. And how's this for a starter? Yeah, hi, g'day. You're all well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. Yeah. Oh, thank you for welcoming me into your house. I'm just going to tell you, hey, I shouldn't be here, guys. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. This is verse 29 now. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? So isn't that hilarious? Yeah, I would have kicked him out. You plonker. You've insulted me and my family. You don't want to talk to me? I don't want to talk to you. How many conversations have been ended? How much language has been stopped by approach like that? You've probably been a part of that yourself. Hey, so here we go. Cornelius answered 4 days ago, etc. He told the story. And so I sent for you immediately. And Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. Did you know that there's a truth that you are God's favorite? How many believe that you're God's favorite? You can believe that. Oh, this might be a revelation to some of you. You are his favorite. You're his favorite child. How many favorites has he got? The whole kit and caboodle. But you're his favorite. But this is the other truth, is that God doesn't show favorites. He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you're Portuguese or if you're Ngāti Whātua. He doesn't care if you speak French or Pidgin. There's something that he has in his heart that everybody would come to know him through his beautiful son, Jesus. God accepts men and women from every nation who fear him and do what is right. And he says, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. Excuse me. You know what has happened throughout Judea. Beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. And this is the thing that always reminds me of Selena. She says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Selena has replaced the Jesus of Nazareth with God has appointed Selena of New Plymouth. God has appointed Chris of New Plymouth. God has appointed Louise of New Plymouth. God has appointed Sam of New Plymouth to go about doing good and bringing healing through the power of his Spirit because God was with him. God is with us. Emmanuel has come. We are witnesses. Did you know that Peter stated his credibility as a witness, having walked with Jesus all that time. But you and I are also witnesses. How many people have a story to tell of God's goodness in your life? I hope every hand goes up. And if not, come and talk to me afterwards, because you need Jesus. You need Jesus in your life. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And this is the gospel story. They killed Jesus by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day, caused him to be seen, not by all, but by witnesses God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives complete forgiveness of sins through the power of his name. I'm just going to go into the Passion Translation for a minute. I'm just coming to the end of my bit, and then I'm just hoping God does some amazing things. While Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit cascaded over all who heard the word. The Holy Spirit cascaded them over all of them. We walked and saw the waterfall at the park just recently. Cascades over rocks. What happens is that everything it cascades over is wet, and it actually creates this noise. Cascaded over all those who heard the word. And the Jewish brothers who'd accompanied Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on people who weren't Jews, for they heard them speaking in supernaturally given languages and passionately praising God. How many of you speak in supernaturally given language and passionately praise God? Okay? If you don't speak with tongues, that's fine. But I believe God wants to gift us with a new language today. If you haven't, that's great. But God always wants to give. You know, I got prayer for receiving the gift of tongues because I thought that was the only evidence of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that's all completely true, but it is one of the strong evidences that the Holy Spirit has touched you in a supernatural way and released something in you that enables you to pray with the Spirit when you can't understand what's going on. How many people always understand what's going on? No hands were seen. But the Holy Spirit, as he cascades over us, as he baptizes us, as he flows into us, he supernaturally empowers us to do the good works he's called for us to do, that he's appointed for us to do since the beginning of time, to be all the people, all of the person that he's always wanted us to be, and to do all the things that he's called us to do. To bring healing, physical healing, emotional healing, relational healing. To bring the glory of God into this broken world. And then all heaven broke loose. The Holy Spirit, while Peter was still speaking, came on all those who heard the message. And Peter concluded, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and Peter stayed with them a few days. I want to say two things. First of all, if you haven't been baptized, can you come and talk to us? That's a really important step of discipleship, of believing God, of trusting him and taking that next step forward. The second thing is I'm just going to ask Holy Spirit to come and cascade over us. I'm going to ask those of you who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, we're going to stand together, we're going to declare God, we're going to, you know how I gave you 3 minutes for the quiz, all right? There was a bit of a racket in the place, but we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and to touch us again. If you're a person who has received the gift of tongues, I bet, like myself, you need to engage in that more than you actually do. So what we're going to do is we're going to spend at least a minute where we just allow Holy Spirit to come. Because what happened in Cornelius' household is they connected with Jesus. Do you want to connect with Jesus this morning? See, Jesus is the Word. We read about that. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was the living expression of God. from the beginning. He was the co-creator with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He dwelled face to face, just like he wants us to, with him. Kanohi ki te kanohi, face to face. And through his creative inspiration, the living expression made all things that are seen and unseen. They connected with Jesus, who loved us so much that he gave his life for us to redeem a sin. How good is Jesus? They connected with Jesus, who was raised from the dead by the power of God. They connected with Jesus, who gave us Savior and Comforter, the Holy Spirit of truth, who never leaves us, who we can know intimately, and who makes his home in us and lives in us. Are you hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Let's stand. Just invite you to say, Holy Spirit, come. You can sing a little song. Wairu atapu kumai nau mai ki kone. Wairu atapu arahia korero mai ano. And in English, Holy Spirit, welcome. You are welcome here. Guide us, Holy Spirit. Speak to us again. Now I just ask, Holy Spirit, would you touch us all again? Would you gift us with the language, supernatural language? Would you gift us this morning with your gifts that you've given us? Just open your heart to him and begin to speak if you've been given that gift of tongues, and if you haven't, so Holy Spirit, come, cascade over me. Fill me with your Spirit, that out of the infilling there'll be an overflowing of glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus. So ko mama mariti arete, so ko la mana mandantara titiere deke, so ko la mana Lord, release that gift of Holy Spirit, language of the supernatural. So ko mana mandra titiere deke te, so lo na mana mandra tiara papara titi, se ke tiara na mana mandra titie. Come, Holy Spirit. Wairu atapu, no mai hare mai, shoko rapapra pare titi, se ke tiatana na mana na mandara titi ere te, so ko pra mamara lara titi anana mai, rapati kiti e te, so ko mana na malaya tra kiti, se tia rapada te titi ti kiti e, so ko la mana mana mandara titi titi ti, si kiti titi ere te re titi ara. Some of it might just come while you're driving a car like it did with me. I got all this prayer and I was just driving along the road and the Holy Spirit gave me these tongues. Sokora manana nandriti sekere tianana manana. Some of you, he's going to give you new tongues. He's going to give you a new expression of that divine. Sokora nana manana manana manana. Sokora nana manana. For his purpose and glory in this world, in your world. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. How many people have received the gift of tongues for the first time today? Is there anyone? Hunger and thirst for his righteousness. Hunger and thirst for his righteousness. Stir up that gift that is in the that was laid on you. As I speak, I speak in a prophetic way. Receive every gift God has for you in the name of Jesus. Some of you have received that word as a word from God. Receive every gift that the Holy Spirit has for you today and in the days to come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we release your goodness into every man, every woman, every child, every grandparent, sister, brother, auntie, and uncle. That from generation to generation, your name will be praised. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for listening, but thank you for listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Go away. Hunger and thirst for all of that God has planned for you. Amen. Some coffee, some free chai for those who want it in the back, and also some other stuff. Some people will serve you in the front. There's communion at the front should you wish to take that. And love one another. Some of you will be visiting Corbett Park. Have a great afternoon. God bless. Have a good week.